If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home. When I'm Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Finn Martin. Hi Finn, how are you?
I'm very well, Kenny. I'm very well indeed. How are you this week?
I'm good. Episode number 99, we're one off the 100.
We've come so far.
We have. We've grown together. We've mourned together. We've had quite the run. Now, I will say, people, you know, you'd put out something on the Facebook page about PS100 or somebody else had, and, you know, somebody said something, and I feel like it could go under the radar, but I feel like I should take my duty as the co-host and challenge you. So, people had said, you know, why wouldn't, you know, Finn could name his, you know, least favourite John Cena matches. So I think what would be a good idea for next week, for the 100th show, since we know that you detest John Cena, you wouldn't let him in your house, you wouldn't go for dinner with him, and all that stuff, why don't you come up with your five matches that define why you feel the way you do about John Cena?
All right, I'm up for it. No problem. I'm ready. As I always do. Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah, I mean, I'll be spoilt for choice, of course.
I'll get an email from Finn later this week. Can we make it a top 10?
Something tells me that Nexus match may make it onto the five. But I mean, it's kind of like the old days, isn't it? When you used to listen to, well, probably before your time, Kenny, when you used to listen to the top 40 on the radio, you're like, what's going to be number one? And it'll be just like this with the top five. The five Cena matches I hate the most and my reasons why I detest them so. So we'll get to number one. I mean, there's going to be some drama as we do that countdown.
Well, yeah, because I'm not even going to ask you what ones you have. I assume the Nexus one might make... So I don't know if anybody... I assume some people who listen to this watch Game of Thrones. I don't, so I don't know anything about it. But I know that the last season is on right now, and there was a controversial episode, I think, last weekend. And people working up in arms about it, and I just saw everybody talking about Game of Thrones and this very controversial thing. So I kind of tweeted out, you know, what is the wrestling equivalent of? Some people were saying it was like gender winning the title. Some were saying it was like Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble. All these different things. But my favourite one that I saw today was, do you know there's a petition, Finn, that's been made online and 500,000 Game of Thrones fans have signed it, and it's a petition to get a group of compelling writers to rewrite the last season of Game of Thrones properly?
I've seen the petition, Kenny, yes.
But then my favourite bit to that was a wrestling fan retweeted it and said, I say that we follow these Game of Thrones fans' suits, and we start a petition for them to redo the Nexus Team WWE match from SummerSlam 2010 and do it properly this time.
Put me down. I'll sign that.
I think a lot of people would. Wade Barrett would sign it.
Too right, he would. Yeah. That guy's still pissed off about his WWE experience.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think we put a video up on our Facebook page about... Wade Barrett talking about the SummerSlam match with John Cena. And let me just tell you right now how many... Okay, so we put that up a year ago, and it has 892,000 hits. Almost a million people have watched that video.
I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it, Kenny, but I have a fair idea of what he says. Enlighten me and others who may not have seen it.
Yeah, so see, he basically talks about how, you know, he felt like everybody else that they should win, and there's the famous clip as well. I don't know if you've ever heard it on Edge's podcast where he talked about how Edge and Jericho had said to Cena, you know, they should go over, and
yes.
And Cena said, no, I don't think so. I think it's fine the way it is, and you know, Cena did say after the fact that he wishes he had gone back and done it differently, but it's one of those ones that I think there are some things in wrestling that you can kind of say, well, you know, I can understand why they did that or why they decided to do it. But this one, I just feel like everybody had to see this coming.
Yeah. I mean, Cena was just saying that to deflect criticism. Because, I mean, he did things like that many more times throughout his career. So I don't believe he really believed that. He was just saying that to appease people.
Dick. So we've got a ton to talk about.
I see through the subterfuge.
You see through the subterfuge of John Cena. I do want to say very quickly, obviously, our good wishes go out to Ric Flair right now. Yes. I know he's going through a surgical procedure to do with his heart. Apparently, he should be fully recovered in that StarCast next week. So, hope he's doing okay, because I saw him at the For the Love of Wrestling convention in Liverpool. I interviewed him on stage, and he seems in a really good place and really happy. So, good for him.
Hasn't Conrad put some information out there that apparently this was a planned procedure?
Yeah, Conrad said that it's a planned procedure and it's not, you know, life or death. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, but our best wishes go to him nevertheless. Of course they do.
So let's open with, there's a couple of really big news stories. let's start with one. We'll build up to the big ones. But I did want to ask you about something that kind of broke last week, but after we talked. It's the Lars Sullivan situation. So Lars Sullivan, the guy behind Lars Sullivan, Dylan his name is, had written a lot of posts on a bodybuilding forum, I think 2011, 2012, 2013, something like that, where he had said things that were disrespectful to black people, to gay people, to Mexican people, a few different kind of groups of people. And
I think he offended pretty much everyone, didn't he?
Yeah, he pretty much offended everybody. He was trolling, is what the people tend to think he was doing. WWE knew about it about a year ago. I think it did come out about a year ago, so I kind of remember it a little bit. So now what's happened is they've fined him $100,000 for what's happened, and he's doing sensitivity training. I know Titus O'Neil has said that he did go and seek out people in the locker room to sort of apologise and say that's not who he is today and all that kind of stuff. So where do you sit on it? Do you think the $100,000 fine is fair? And how do you think that they deal with situations like this going forward about people's words or actions years ago before they were even with the company?
Well, my take on it is that WWE had been aware of this for a long time. So supposedly they didn't have a problem with it. And then suddenly when they started receiving some sponsor backlash, they announced that they fined him $100,000, and they're going to send him to sensitivity training. So to me, it's pure PR. The whole thing's just to shut down the story, to prevent it from gathering any more momentum. That's my view of it from the company's standpoint. I don't think anyone can argue with that. WWE knew about this. I mean, apparently, from what I understand, this, you know, he was supposed to, you know, the videos of Lars Sullivan originally aired in January, didn't they? And then he, like, withdrew. Apparently, he had, like, anxiety. Now, I think it's all connected. His response to his imminent push on the main roster, I think his knowledge that this could be brought up and become a story factored into his anxiety and his reaction back then. Because I remember when it was first announced that he was coming up to the main roster, this became a story again, didn't it? I think it maybe became a story for the first time, actually. And then it just became a huge story again. Was it last week or the week before?
Yeah.
That's right. So to me, it's just, you know, WWE has basically found a way of shutting this story down. They find him the money, they're sending him to sensitivity training, and that's it. That's the WWE's reaction to it. Would they have done this had they not received pressure from sponsors and the public? I don't think they would have done. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, as far as whether it's fair or not, well, if you're going to be a public figure, you can't make comments like this. And if you have made comments like this, then you are going to be called out for it because people will find them. And you will be punished in some form for doing it. So, you know, I've got no sympathy for Lars. It wasn't like he was 15 when he was making these comments. He was he was an adult at that point, so he knew what he was doing. It was over a long period of time as well. It wasn't like something that he wrote, you know, once and then immediately deleted it. I think it was over a period of time that he was making these comments. So this was the way he definitely felt at the time. I don't know whether it's the way he feels today, but presumably you don't make these comments again and again if you don't believe in them. So I've got no sympathy for Lars at all. I mean, this is just what happens when you, you know, when you upset people and when you say things that are socially unacceptable on social media. It has a history, it lingers, and it will come back to bite you on the ass if you ever become a public figure. So, I mean, let this be a lesson to everyone out there on social media. Don't make comments like this. That's my view on it, Kenny. What's yours?
Well, you know, it's funny. I kind of disagree in some of it because I actually do feel a little bit, I feel a little bit bad for Lars Sullivan, or the guy who plays Lars Sullivan, only because what he said was reprehensible, it was bad, it was all that stuff. But I think the onus here has to be in WWE. They did not do a proper background check on him, and they did not see this stuff. So they really need to, first of all, have a better background check. They knew about this a year ago. They were never going to do anything about it. He's part of a company where the Ultimate Warrior is lauded as this hero with a statue and all this kind of stuff. He's got an award named after him. And he's arguably worse than Lars Sullivan. You know, you look at a guy like Hogan. Hogan, when Hogan got kind of ostracized for what he said, and he should have been, he was Hulk Hogan already. He was the character of Hulk Hogan, the cultural icon, all that kind of stuff. The stuff that the guy, Lars Sullivan, said, yeah, I'm not trying to excuse what he said, because what he said was bad, and he should be punished for it. But at the same time, you know, he was 21, 22, whatever it was years ago. And I think that I think to fine him, fair enough, but to fine him $100,000 doesn't really sit right with me. I don't like, that's basically the guy's whole annual salary. And I think for him to be fined that when Warrior, you know, gets all the credentials that he does, Vince has done worse. They're about to go to Saudi Arabia and run shows. It's just all a bit of a mixed message. You know, something came out yesterday or the day before where Johnny Gargano had tweeted out in 2010 something about, it was a comment that would now be deemed transphobic, and it was about, you know, if you have a penis, you're still a guy. So are we gonna, you know, fire Johnny Gargano over hot coals for a comment 9 years ago that's transphobic? You know, I feel like we're going down a slippery slope here where it's like, if somebody makes a mistake, I'm not justifying what he said. What he said was bad. I just don't feel like fining the guy a year's salary 9 years later is fair. I don't think that's a fair punishment. I think it's overly harsh. And I just feel like we're in a society now where, you know, everybody's waiting to jump on a bandwagon to, you know, criticize people for their mistakes in the past. And yeah, I just kind of, it doesn't really sit right with me. I think if WWE were some sort of like really morally great company where, you know, because there's stuff that you and I know about famous wrestlers that they have done things and committed crimes on people that who are lauded as these great legends and nothing happens to them. And that's where it all kind of sits uneasily with me, because this has come up, he's being punished. Yeah, he probably should be punished for it, but at the same time, they didn't do a proper background check and get it and find out about it. And now I just think being fined a year's salary, or almost a year's salary, is just, to me, is a bit much. That's my take.
Well, to me, you're looking at it as a moral issue, and I do get that, but I'm looking at it from the company standpoint. I mean, look at the Fabulous Moolah situation last year. I mean, WWE was as aware as any of us of the things that she had done when she was alive, when she was a star, when she was basically booking talent. And yet still they named a battle royal after her. And it was only after a sponsor, I believe it was Snickers, objected that they changed it. So this is, you know, the moral compass. It's all over the place in this company.
I think that's the thing. When I say I feel bad, I don't want it to be confused with me saying I agree with what Lars Sullivan said. It was terrible. It really was terrible. But I think that, you know, you must know people in your life, or people who have been around your life, who in the past have been absolute arseholes, and they've maybe reformed themselves. Whether it's a friend or somebody you know through somebody or whatever, right? I'm just, what I feel is, frustrating is that Lars Sullivan is being punished to a degree where it's like he's basically going to have to work for a year, basically not really earning much. Because say he's on like 250 grand now.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting 100 taken off him. That's 150. On main roster with your road expenses, that's not a lot at all.
No, it's not.
So for a year, he's basically being he's the guy they're using to try and make the point, but they're actually not fixing any of the problems. And he's being made to be the scapegoat for it. And that's where I kind of feel like, well, either you guys just have better, you know, have better background checks for people. Don't go to countries where things happen. You know, like, for me, I just feel that he's being very, very harshly taken to task when other people have got away with a lot more and had a lot less punishment. You know, like when Hogan got fired in 2015, did Hulk Hogan have any problems with money at the time? I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he was still a millionaire who, you know, got to live a lavish lifestyle, just maybe not as lavish as he did.
I actually think things weren't that fabulous for him financially until the lawsuit settlement came in. I think Linda did very well in the divorce, but I get your point. I'm sure Hogan was in a better place financially than Lars Sullivan is today. And you say, you know, the guys, can you imagine how much money it must cost to look like that? You know, and to get the outfits and the clothes and everything. It must be a very expensive business being Lars Sullivan. But you're right, he's been scapegoated. Of course he has. But if you're a public figure and something you've done becomes an issue that is a PR problem, then this company, WWE, will act. It will stamp it out. It will do everything to just crush that problem before it becomes any bigger. So they've come out with this big fine. So people, I mean, you say they did fine him 10 grand. Everyone would have said, well, that's not much for a guy like Lars Sullivan. Maybe if they'd fined him 50, maybe that wouldn't have been seen to have been enough. Wouldn't have seemed to have been a severe enough punishment. You know, the punishment, I guess, has to be greater than the crime in order for the PR for the PR problem to go away, for the PR problem to be dealt with and rectified. So it's absolutely a PR thing. It's not a moral issue. But I understand why people morally would look at this and would have a lot of problems with it and would be conflicted and be ambivalent about it. Because if you look at it through those eyes, it is problematic because of the things that the company has done and does and the things that certain people in that company have done and continue to do. But, you know, Lars has been basically outed publicly as somebody who has said these things or written these things. So WWE, and then it became a sponsor problem. If it was going to cost WWE money, then they were going to do something about it. So it didn't cost them money. It's all about the money, Kenny. That's what it's all about. It's all about preserving deals and, you know, sponsors and advertisers and just keeping the money rolling in. If something threatens that, then they will act, and they will act very swiftly and with grave, with you know, in a way that's very decisive to shut it down before it becomes bigger. And that's what they've done here with Lars Sullivan.
And I guess the new message now is if you don't like something WWE you're doing, or you think there's something that's not good, reaching out to the sponsors seems to be the way to go now.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, that's what happens with the Fabulous Moolah thing last year. And like those stories went away as soon as the Fabulous Moolah name was removed from that battle royal. So, I mean, absolutely, that is the way to do it. And the thing is, social media can be a very dangerous thing. People put things on there that they might not really mean, or they might put them up there when they've been under intoxicated or under the influence of drugs or whatever, or they might just put them in there. It might be some ridiculous joke that's funny to them and a couple of other people that people take offence to. But stuff like this, especially if you think you're ever going to become a public figure, should make you, you know, have a think before you tweet and have a think before you do that Facebook post. If this is something that could be construed as offensive to some people, then don't put it up there.
Yeah, also, if you get a job with WWE, I would essentially... I know somebody... I'm trying to get to word this without it being obvious. I know somebody who worked for WWE, who was working for them, doing really good work, blah, blah, blah. And then, after working for them for a while, was just told, oh, you failed your background check, so you need to leave. And the person that had been working for them. And that's kind of what they're like. You can fail a background check very easily. But to me, it's like, do background checks with people when you're going to bring them in. Don't let them come work for you for like however long and then do it. It's just, that doesn't sit right with me. Like,
well, I mean, WWE was aware of this. So, I mean, maybe they'd been aware of it all along. Or maybe they only became aware of it after they'd already invested enough time and money into Lars Sullivan that they thought, well, it's not going to come up, or, well, we'll deal with it at the time. But we know they were aware of it before it became this issue over the last week to 10 days. But yeah, WWE definitely should do its background checks, really to avoid situations like this from occurring again.
So let's move on to the next big news story. There are a ton of them. BT Sports, as reported in The Telegraph this week, the UK newspaper, they broke the story, they got the scoop, that BT Sports will be taking over WWE's UK TV rights at the end of this contract, which I think ends at the end of this year, Finn?
Yes.
So Sky had renewed with WWE in 2014 with a 5-year deal. They are now not going to renew with WWE. WWE are going to BT Sports. I guess we should say this is not that WWE does not want to stay with Sky. They did. Sky were not interested in renewing the deal, which is why BT Sports have come up. It's a pretty big story, Finn. For people who aren't aware or maybe don't understand why WWE are leaving Sky, why Sky aren't interested in keeping them, and why they go to BT Sports, can you kind of give us a summary of what's happened in the last kind of 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think this is all connected, or at least partly connected, to the WWE network. I mean, I really feel like Sky felt they were undercut by that. You know, I mean, WWE Network launched February 2014. If you remember, the WWE Network didn't make it to the UK officially until January 19, 2015, so 11 months later. Now, this was at least partly due to its exclusivity, supposedly, with Sky Sports. Everyone knew that as soon as the WWE Network was launched in the UK, that fans would sign up for it, and then they would then stop purchasing the pay-per-views through Sky Box Office. So, I mean, there was obviously going to be a big problem then. There was going to be a major revenue loss for Sky, who had just forked out all this money to renew the contract for 5 years. So I think it's connected to that. Also, I think it's connected as well to the declining importance of WWE to Sky. I just don't think they're as valuable a property as they used to be. I think those are the two reasons there. I think really Sky felt, I think Sky was really miffed by the way it all played out with the WWE Network. And I remember when I first heard about the WWE Network, I was trying to work out how this was gonna work in conjunction with Sky. And something like this was bound to occur, because it just was. And also, as we've said, or you've said many times on the podcast, WWE's numbers for Raw and SmackDown are so small now for the live broadcasts, that it's just not really something that's viewed as that important to Sky anymore.
But to give you a comparison, in 1999, when Sky used to air Raw on a Friday night, it would do about 250,000 viewers, which, you know, that might not sound like a lot, but in the UK, smaller country, and the fact that Sky Sports is a premium subscription channel that's not, you know, accessible, you know, in every hotel room and like the USA is, 250,000 is a lot, and now they're hitting about 20,000 to 10,000 for a Raw or SmackDown, and that's live, so it's gone down quite considerably.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In a sense, that's not fair, because when it was on Friday nights, it was shown in a prime time slot, wasn't it? Wasn't shown at like 1 a.m. But I mean, even up until, yeah, I mean, remember when PowerSlam was running, it was still doing decent numbers, because I remember I would include them in the magazine news section. It was still doing decent numbers live.
Was there a big decline when they started doing the third hour, do you think?
Well, I mean, they started doing the third hour in 2012. Was it 2012?
Yeah, July 2012.
I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I mean, it was inevitable that would happen, because then people are having to stay up till 4 a.m. So, and unless you're not at work the next day, or you work shifts or whatever, how many people can really stay up to 4 a.m. to watch Raw? I mean, who would really want to subject themselves to that? I mean, I wouldn't in May 19. I just wouldn't in May 2019. I just wouldn't, you know. So, but I mean, how many? I mean, it's hard to believe to me that many people, you know, watch it. I mean, I guess that includes people who are taping it as well, doesn't it? I think it does.
Yeah, it does.
So it's not just the people who are watching live, people who have set their Sky Plus boxes to record it. So that's included in the rating. But it's still a fairly, you know, it's not a great number compared to what they were doing 4 years ago. I mean, people watch WWE differently now. Of course they do. And there's more channels as well now when you think about it. I mean, there's so much more competition for, you know, people's time, and people can watch Raw in so many different ways. And when it's on in the middle of the night, it's like, well, you'll just watch it online or find another way to watch it if you're a fan, rather than watching it on TV, especially when it's on at that time. Plus, of course, the Sky Sports package is expensive. That's in addition to the normal Sky system. And in this day and age, again, because there's so much competition for people's entertainment pounds these days. You know, if you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon Prime, you've got the WWE Network, you've got all these other things. It's like, if you're not really a sports fan, are you going to pay, is it £22 a month? Or it's over £20 a month for the Sky Sports package as well, when you can very easily watch WWE elsewhere. And also, if you've got the WWE Network, all the pay-per-views and so much other of the so many other programs from the WWE product are on there. I mean, I remember when NXT used to be on Sky Sports, and that was pulled. And you're just like, well, why has that been pulled? It's like, well, why? You know, I'm paying for Sky Sports. Why am I not getting the net? Why am I not getting NXT as well? Or that's now on the network. So you could see that the relationship was crumbling. Because neither is as important to the other as they used to be. I think it's just that simple, really, Kenny.
I mean, we also should say that Sky were not happy about when the network was launching. The initial idea was the pay-per-views would not be on the network.
Yeah.
That was the initial idea. And then when the pay-per-views were going to be in the network, the caveat was, and this was even to not just Sky, but to satellite companies in the States, cable companies in the States, pay-per-view providers, is that everyone was told WrestleMania will not be on the network.
That's right.
And when you take on WrestleMania and all the other pay-per-views, I mean, that's a lot of revenue, especially WrestleMania. I assume if Sky were getting a fair amount of revenue from WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, you know, the big ones.
Oh, they would have been, absolutely, before the WWE Network launched, absolutely. I mean, so, there would have been big earners for Sky.
So if they were offering a five-year deal based, like, so if I say to Finn, okay, Finn, we're going to do a deal for you and me doing the Power Slam podcast for the next 5 years, right? And we go, okay, here's £10,000. Here's a deal for 5 years, whatever, £10,000. We go, okay, great. Now, if Finn says to me right before it, remember, you know, I'm exclusively podcasting with you. Great, you know, here's the money. Well, if 6 months later, Finn starts another podcast with somebody else that he does weekly. But that's going to affect my numbers. So then the deal that I've made with you is no longer the deal that I would have made had I known you were going to go and do this.
Absolutely, yeah. Perfect analogy, Kenny.
Thank you.
Can I expect the 10 grand in my account by...
oh, God, today's not the day to ask me for that. But no, so I think that there's a... I think there's an element of Sky just kind of being like, you know, we feel mugged off. And I just don't think WWE is an attractive proposition in the States, TV-wise, but it's not really an attractive proposition here. I don't know anybody, maybe like two people I know, who turn on Raw Live like at the start and just see what's going on, but I don't know anybody who watches it anymore in the UK. I know that, like, you know, in the Facebook community, Innes will put up the, you know, this discussion thread, and there's next to nobody commenting on it, whereas 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was like 100 comments the next day from people watching it live. So, and then with BT Sports, and I could be getting this wrong, BT Sports is, if you have Virgin Media, BT Sports is pretty easily accessible. Whereas if you have Sky, then I think that it's difficult to get, or it's like £45 a month or something to get the sports package. So
that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
I think BT recently got the rights to, well, I don't know if it's recently, but they got the rights to the Champions League, the football, European football, the Champions League, and that kind of suffered initially. But I think it has kind of grown a little bit now. So, it's going to be interesting to see if they. I don't really know a lot of people who have BT Sports, the channel, or the channel package. I know if you watch football, I guess you have it. But and there's a lot of people who have Sky Sports purely for WWE. So will they see? Yeah. Will they see a? I mean, Sky Sports have always, or for a while, treated WWE as kind of the bastard child. Really?
Yeah. I think that's true. I don't think the relationship has clearly not been close. They haven't been viewed as a priority. And they've just moved down the food chain. It's when you think about it, obviously it's Sky Sports, but then WWE was shown on the regular Sky channels, wasn't it, in repeats on the weekends. You could watch like the recap shows and everything. And that's your shot window. That's how you make new fans. And obviously WWE has to constantly try and make new fans or create new fans to replace the ones that it turns off, and it's turning off a lot of them at the moment. But I mean, you need that shot window, and it needs to be accessible to as many people as possible, so you've got that reach to try and attract new fans. And some people said, oh well, why don't they just put Raw and SmackDown on the WWE network? Well, it's like, hold on a minute, how do you make new fans? How do new fans discover the WWE network? It's like, okay, the first month is free, but you've got to at least have a fair bit of interest in WWE to sign up for it. I mean, that's how you discover something, isn't it? You generally, it's just there on TV. Oh, what's this? Oh, this is really good. Oh, I'll tape it next week or whatever. I'll record it next week. Tape it. I mean, I can't believe I still use that word in 2019. But you know what I mean? You're right about BT Sports. If it's reaching fewer people, which it is, than Sky, does that mean that's going to have a knock-on effect on the amount of new fans that WWE creates? I mean, it seems inevitable to me. Maybe WWE thinks, well, we've got such a large presence on YouTube and online that people will just discover it that way. And maybe that is the way it is now. You know, maybe I'm kind of overreacting there, that it doesn't, I mean, this shop window is not as important as it used to be. And it isn't, because, I mean, it does have such a large presence online. And that's how a lot of kids discover things. I mean, friends of mine who've got kids who are like in the teens or, you know, secondary school age, they spend all their time watching YouTube. That's what they do. They just watch that all the time. So, and that's, I guess, how WWE is reaching a new audience, is via, you know, online, social media, video sharing websites and things like that.
Well, I mean, you made a good point off air before we recorded. We'd said, you know, we were talking about Sky and WWE's relationship, and you said, well, when was the last time they worked together on an event? And I looked up. Do you remember the last one?
Well, I mean, it's obviously going to be before a non-Sky Sky box office event, you mean? Or you mean like a TV special?
Yeah, like a special together. The last one they did was in June of 2003.
Okay.
Which was Insurrection. That was the last one they did.
Wow.
You know, so that took place on June 7th, 2003 in Newcastle. And that's the last time they did an event together. Right. Since then, it's just been kind of, you know, showing the pay-per-views.
Right. Well, I mean, I know the UK only pay-per-view numbers had dwindled greatly, partly because the shows were just missable. They were unimportant. They weren't something you had to watch. Generally had no bearing on the storylines that took place week to week on television. And I think people felt very much like they were being taken for granted by these UK-only spectaculars. I mean, let's face it, Kenny, most of them were crap. You know, they just really were. So, I mean, it was almost like, you know, mercy killing when they were done in, as far as I'm concerned. But you're right, yeah, that the Sky WWE relationship, it hasn't been like they've been getting together. You would have thought that they maybe find a way of getting together to do a big show, just to, you know, just to promote each other and to promote their relationship as much as anything. I mean, you go way back to you know, the beginning. Sky was launched on February 5th, 1989. And WWF wrestling was a huge part of the package, huge part of the advertising. I mean, I remember seeing an advert for the Sky System in 1992 in which Ric Flair took his absurd bump off the top rope. And that was part of the advertising, WWF wrestling. It's like, sign up for Sky and you can watch WWF wrestling. And a lot of people signed up to Sky to watch wrestling. I mean, it was huge back then, let's face it. It was a craze, wasn't it, WWF wrestling in 91, 92. So, I mean, WWF wrestling was hugely important to Sky. I mean, you go back to look at the specials they did, like the famous one, October 10, 89 from London, headlined by Hogan versus Randy Savage, Battle Royal at the Albert Hall, October 3rd, 1991. That was broadcast live on Sky Movies.
Three UK Rampage shows in a row. In 91, 92, 93 from Sheffield right after WrestleMania.
Exactly. So, I mean, huge. I mean, I remember the Battle Royal at Lee Albert Hall when it was released on VHS. That was a huge seller. Sold tens of thousands of copies. Do you remember who was on the cover of that VHS, Kenny?
Was it not the Legion of Doom were on the cover of that one?
It was the Legion of Doom. Very striking cover. Was one of Silvervision's best ever sellers. That I think the first Hogan video they released did terrific, and an Ultimate Warrior one did really well. But I think the Battle Royal at the Albert Hall was one of their biggest ever sellers. So, I mean, it was huge back then, WWF wrestling. And as you said, yeah, they were doing specials up till 1993. And it was a very tight relationship. It was really solid, and both of them benefited from it greatly. Sky did and WWF.
Now, but then there was, you know, over the years, there was, I mean, WWF, it used to be that it took a long time for stuff to penetrate over here. Like, so for example, In Your House started in May of 1995.
Yeah.
But the first In Your House to be broadcast in the UK live on Sky Sports at 1 a.m. Because this is the other thing, if you live in the States, up until 2000, we got all the pay-per-views free as part of the Sky Sports package. We didn't have to pay for them.
I think it was Royal Rumble 2000 that was that the turning point, Royal Rumble 2000?
Yeah, because what happened was the first In Your House was May 95. The first one we got was Revenge of the Taker, which was April 97. So basically 2 years before we started getting the In Your House events. They did a couple where they renamed them, like In Your House It's Time, which is the December 96 show where Brett and Sid main evented. They did it as a Christmas special on Sky One and stuff like that. But we didn't get it for 2 years. SmackDown, Sunday Night Heat started in August of 98. We didn't get it until Channel 4 picked it up in January of 2000.
That's right.
SmackDown started in August of 99 with a pilot in April. We didn't get it until January of 2000. And then, so why did WWF end up going to Channel 4 and taking Royal Rumble, Backlash, Fully Loaded and Armageddon with them? Because that seemed like an odd move that those four, especially the Rumble, would go away to Channel 4 for 2 years.
Well, I mean, I think those events just came up, didn't they? I mean, those events weren't part of the deal with Sky. And Channel 4, as I understand it, bid for them and it got the rights to broadcast them.
But why wouldn't Sky have had the rights to the Royal Rumble?
I don't remember the reasons. It was a very strange story at the time that these events would end up. I think what it was Sky had the rights to show a certain number of events, and these were not included in that, or some deal was struck by WWF with Channel 4. I mean, obviously they saw Channel 4 was like, this is a much larger, I was talking earlier about the shop window. The internet was in its infancy at that point, at least in the UK. Most people had it in 2000, but it was still a thing that not everyone had. So when this Channel 4 thing came up, and Channel 4 screened four of the pay-per-views that year. And did you say it was Heat as well? Because Heat briefly was on MTV, wasn't it?
Yeah. Heat ended up going on MTV in the States.
Oh, was that Tough Enough? No, Tough Enough was on MTV, wasn't it?
No, Heat did go on MTV.
Okay.
Because it was on the USA Network in 98, 99, and then after SmackDown started, Heat kind of became this, like, nothing show. They moved it to MTV. They did it in, like, WWF New York.
Yeah, that's
But then,
right.
Of course, the Channel 4 version of Heat was, like, an international version. So it didn't always, like, you wouldn't get the pay-per-view versions of Heat. You would get, like, a pre-taped one that was taped at SmackDown, which was quite... So the whole deal with Channel 4, because famously with the Royal Rumble 2000, when Channel 4 got that, they just did ads in the middle of matches. which
right.
people went insane. And then I think it was Backlash was the next one they had. And I remember vividly there was one where Bubba Ray Dudley was putting Trish Stratus through a table and they like paused the move so you didn't get to see it.
Well, what happened was Channel 4 basically hadn't done its due diligence on what WWF had become. And I think the execs had basically thought they were buying something that they'd grown up with as kids or seen when they were younger. And they didn't realize that it had changed so much. And I remember at the time being told that higher ups at Channel 4 were horrified by the Triple H versus Cactus Jack. Was it Street Fight? Was it classed as a Street Fight?
Yeah, Street Fight.
Street Fight with all the Triple H did this monumental blade job and there was drawing pins and barbed wire. And the other thing that they really objected to was the, as did most people who saw it, was the Mae Young incident, you know, in the Miss Rumble swimsuit competition.
I mean, I have memories of that.
Yeah. So that's it. Some people are still having nightmares about it. Probably Channel 4 execs among them. Maybe careers ended, Kenny, as a result of that decision. Probably careers in TV have ended over less. So, I mean, they were horrified, basically, by the content of Royal Rumble 2000, which was the reason why Backlash, that was broadcast in April that year, I believe, I think it was shown on tape delay. And I know, I think it was X-Pac was cut open hard way. I think they digitized that. And there was a few other things that they either froze or they cut. And people were up in arms about it, Kenny. I remember receiving tons of mail. I think actually on the PowerSlam overrun, I think you may have read some of the letters out from people complaining about Channel 4's coverage of that event. Because Channel 4 would show 18 rated films uncut. And here it was censoring WWF wrestling. It was a strange thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think for people like me and you who had Sky Sports by that point, it was frustrating for us. But there are a lot of people that I come into contact with now, or we'll talk about wrestling and all that, and they started getting to watch WWF by it being on Channel 4. Because Channel 4, for anybody who's in the States, Channel 4 is like NBC. It's one of your broadcast channels that everybody gets. Whereas Sky Sports is a cable channel, but it's like a premium cable channel. So like USA Network, I guess, is kind of like Sky One in the sense that like if you get a cable subscription, you're going to get the USA Network. Whereas with Sky Sports, you have to buy a specific sports package to get it. So it was like one of the higher tier things. But so Channel 4 had WWF for 2 years. They went back to Sky because Sky realized, why are we giving away the Royal Rumble and things? But It's kind of the end of an era a little bit, this relationship that's been 30 years that's going to end.
Hang on, Kenny, I think we made an error there. Wasn't the 2002 Royal Rumble the first one they showed on pay-per-view?
Yes. No, that's right, yeah. Because it went to Channel 4 for 2 years, yeah, and then they came back. Yeah, that's it.
Because it was the one featuring Triple H's return. I mean, obviously, he had returned to Raw prior to that, but it was his big comeback on pay-per-view. And I remember a lot of people were pissed off that they had to pay for that event because they felt like it should have been included in the Sky Sports package because they were already paying a premium anyway. But by the time WWF, as it still was at the time, presented the next event on pay-per-view, which was probably Backlash, because I think they started with the events that had previously been on Channel 4. I think they were the ones that we had to pay for.
Then they slowly introduced the other ones on pay-per-view.
And then it became a slow, gradual thing where it's like, well, you know it's coming, where everything, every pay-per-view.
Well, plus the thing was, at that point, I think in the States, in 2002, I'm sure it was $39.95 was the price. Or maybe it had gone up to $45, but we were still getting a great deal. Even with it being on £14.95, that's like $20 at the time.
Yeah.
So we were still getting a much better deal than people in America who had to pay $45 per pay-per-view.
Of course we were. And once people had got over the hump, had basically just come to terms with the fact that they were going to have to pay for these events. I mean, I received tons of complaints about the 2002 Royal Rumble and people having to pay for it. But by the time the next event, I think it was Backlash, was presented on Sky Box Office, people kind of accepted it and it had become normalised. I mean, that's what happens. Things become normalized very quickly. So and people didn't really complain about it after that. I guess if they didn't feel like it was worth it, they wouldn't have watched it. But at that point, this was kind of before most people didn't really get broadband until maybe 2004, 2005. So you couldn't really watch this stuff online, could you?
No.
So if you wanted to watch it, you really had to buy it or borrow a tape of it off someone. VHSs were still around then. People were still using them. So, I mean, you really had to pay or you really had to obtain a copy of the show from somebody. It's the end of an era, all right. I mean, WWF, WWE leaving Sky after more than 30 years. But it kind of feels inevitable to me, Kenny. I would have been very surprised if they'd extended their relationship or if Sky had wanted to extend the relationship after what occurred with the network and WWF or WWE rather simply not being, you know, a vital property to them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's the end of a big relationship. I don't know if BT's... I think the hope is going to be that BT Sports have UFC. They have a lot of big football games. So I guess the hope is going to be that BT can kind of build on those things. And maybe enough people are going to want to buy the sports package. I mean, what's interesting to me, which will kind of curtail into our next story, we talked about ITV box office showing AEW. We could be in this weird position within a year's time that AEW have a much bigger television presence in the UK than WWE do, which a year ago seemed unimaginable that another wrestling company would be able to come along and potentially be on Freeview, which is essentially that you can get like a free box in the UK where you get like the five broadcast channels and you get a bunch of kind of secondary channels, and ITV 2, 3 and 4 are some of those channels.
Yeah, so, I mean, I should say also, Kenny, modern televisions come with built-in Freeview, so they're just automatically there, all those channels.
Yeah, so, but I mean, isn't this mental? A year ago, we would never have believed that another wrestling company would be able to come along and even be in contention to be a bigger player in the UK in terms of how many homes they reach, how much access people have to them, with some names. I mean, it's a situation I couldn't have predicted it a year ago.
Well, I don't know. I mean, really, if you look at like Impact Wrestling was outdrawing, or TNA was outdrawing WWE on Sky for years. More people were watching Impact.
Yeah, when they were on Challenge. Yeah, but because TNA really had their day. What, when was the last time they were drawing big ratings? 3-4 years ago?
Probably. Yeah. Maybe like 2 years ago. But yeah, it's certainly.
The thing is, there was World of Sport, and World of Sport, you know, they were in such a, you know, huge platform of being on main ITV. It's, you know, if you don't have 2 million viewers after a while, you're considered not what it needs to be.
Not viable,
yeah. So it seems strange that we're now in a position where AEW could be on ITV4 or one of those other channels, and WWE are now going to be on this other sports network that's not as easily accessible as Sky.
Well, that's true, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, but, I mean, it's WWE is so well established over it, it's so entrenched. I mean, it's been the promotion really since 1989. You know, we're talking 30 years now. It's been the number one company over here, and no one has ever really challenged their dominance. I mean, you were talking earlier about the numbers that Raw was doing on a Friday night in 1998-1999, and that was like the Friday night war in this country, wasn't it? Because you'd have Nitro and Raw both doing huge numbers,
and as a WWF fan, I obviously wanted to watch Raw, but Nitro wouldn't do repeats, so you ended up kind of like during ad breaks you'd switch to another, and it was an intense time to be a fan.
It was, and WCW at that time, when it was at its hottest in the States, it didn't run a show over here. You're like, well, why not? Oh, well, we don't need to, because we're doing so well at home. It's like, well, you need to go abroad. You need to take your product to this foreign market that's got money to spend on merchandise, and by going over there and having a presence and getting your guys on all the mainstream shows, which WCW would have been able to do back then because they had the big names that everyone knew, then you create sponsorship deals, you create merchandise potential, you just make the company bigger. And it was just one of those questions that you know, really, when you're doing those, it's one of those questions. If I ever get to interview Eric Bischoff, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask him, Kenny, is why they didn't try and make more inroads on the UK market between 97 and really early 99, when it all sort of dropped off for them. Because WCW could have been so much bigger than it was in this country if they'd come over here and tried to challenge the WWF's dominance. But it really didn't. So we're looking at, anyway, getting back to AEW and ITV4. Obviously, it's got to establish itself. Yeah, it's got the potential to reach a lot of viewers, but there's a lot of competition for eyeballs these days. So just because they're on a channel that everyone, pretty much everyone in the country has access to for free, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to draw a big number. So I think there's a lot of other things that have got to, that are going to play into that for this thing to really get over and succeed. So it needs to be like a word of mouth thing. I mean, we know they're well connected over here, so hopefully they'll bring some of the guys over and get them on the shows, get them on the mainstream TV shows, sports shows, chat shows, whatever, or radio shows, anything really, that are going to try and appeal to an audience that's not aware of All Elite Wrestling or not aware that this wrestling show will be on ITV4. So, I mean, there's a lot of work for them to do to even approach WWE's dominance of the market over here because they're so well established and people know the characters. I mean, like, you know, you go into Sainsbury's, and I was in Sainsbury's the other night, and, you know, next to the Star Wars figures are AJ Styles figures and Jinder Mahal figures, you know, and Mojo Rawley figures. Well, maybe not Mojo Rawley, but you know what I mean. you see the merchandise everywhere. So, I mean, that's presumably going to be something that All Elite Wrestling is going to do as well. Is it going to really try and mirror the WWE model of getting the merch everywhere? And we know the Young Bucks and all these guys have done really well out of merch in the States. So they know how important that is to building a brand and becoming financially successful. So you would think that All Elite Wrestling is going to try and do that as well with all its guys. And if we're at the point where All Elite Wrestling figures and merch are edging WWE figures and merch out for space on the shelves, then we'll know that All Elite Wrestling's really starting to become a threat and real competition for WWE. So they've got a lot of work to do. This is not to say that none of this can't happen. Of course it can. And you know, these people, they've got some, there's a lot of money behind it. We know that. They're well connected. They're going to have people who can make things happen. So, you know, give them time and maybe they will.
Well, that leads us into our other big news story of the week, which was announced on Wednesday, which is that AEW, we knew it was coming, but AEW has signed a deal with Warner Media. They're going to be doing a live primetime 2-hour weekly TV show on TNT starting this fall. They're going to have streaming stuff on Bleacher Report, which is where for US people, Double or Nothing will stream. TNT seem very invested in it. It was a big part of their upfronts this week in New York. They had it tickled me, but they had an AEW logo with a fire background saying we're back in the wrestling business on Twitter. So a pretty big story, and the deal that's been broken down so far is they're not being paid like a TV rights fee like WWE are, but instead what they're getting is they're going to get a 50-50 split of the ad revenue with a guaranteed amount as a minimum that they're going to get, and Turner are going to pay for the full production of the weekly TV show, which I think amounts to right. $30 million a year. So, I know that calling them an upstart company is maybe... They've got a lot of backing, like you say, they've got a lot of money, but for a company who aren't attached to the network, to get a deal like that is a pretty good deal to come in with a station like TNT, which is available, I think, in 90 million homes in the States compared to USA that's in 89 million homes. What do you make of the deal? What do you make of the story? And talk me through your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Turner Company is paying for production, that's huge. That's enormous. That's the big one. And I think getting half of the ad revenue, that's going to really incentivize them to really try and come up with something that's going to make people want to advertise on the show. I mean, I know that's stating the bleeding obvious, but it's like if you are getting half of the ad revenue, then that's that's a huge motivation, isn't it? So I think this is probably as good as they could expect for a new startup company. I don't know what the reaction to this has been in terms of, oh, they should have been getting paid all this TV rights fees. Well, you know, WWE has been on TV. It's been a proven ratings grabber for decades. So obviously numbers aren't doing too well at the moment, but it has got that history on TV. So no wonder they can command those rights fees. Do we know how long the TV deal is for, Kenny? Did you mention that then?
All they've said is it's a multi-year deal, but there's not been a duration of years disclosed.
Okay. Well, you would think that if it takes off, there'll be something in the contract that at year one they can maybe renegotiate and maybe get rights fees. You would think they'll have been smart enough to include something like that. At this point, you've got to really look at it as that TNT is taking a huge risk as well. You know, this is really properly partnering up with a TV channel. So I think this is really good. You know, I mean, I know Spike put a lot of money into TNA, so you could say that they were very helpful. And they were very supportive of that channel of that promotion for about a decade, I think it was, they were on there. So, I mean, Spike was a really good partner for TNA when they were doing business. And I think this is obviously going to be huge for All Elite Wrestling, getting on a channel that's in that many homes, that's seen, you know, as one of the better cable channels, that's probably got the ability to attract much more sponsors and advertisers than other channels have, because they'll have many deals in place already. And as you say, the TNT, or the Turner Company, was there really trumpeting this acquisition. So it's not like the whole thing of like when, you know, WCW was always seen as like the black sheep of the family and they were kind of embarrassed by it. You're not getting that impression that you know, this is something that they're going into reluctantly. It feels like something they're going into wholeheartedly, and they want to see it succeed. And if you've got the company or the channel, the station behind you, that just makes things so much easier. So, yeah, this is huge. This is huge for wrestling. It's huge for All Elite Wrestling. It's huge for all the people that are involved. And as I've said before, everyone, every WWE fan out there should be hoping this succeeds, because, you know, we as wrestling fans, we need it to succeed. You know, everyone needs this to succeed. It's great for the talent, great for the business. Huge news, Kenny. You know, probably the biggest story of the year, I would have thought. Would you agree?
I think it's maybe the biggest story in years, to be honest, because I never thought that we would see this. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think that with TNA, by like 2011, you knew that TNA was never going to really have any shot of being competition. The last time that there was even, and I know it was, if you thought about it, really it wasn't, but like 2010 when they brought in all the big names, so that was their last big shot. Really sort of, you know, and as soon as they went on air that night, it was all over the place, and you know, you just knew it wasn't going to happen. So that was 2010. We're now 2019. I never thought that we would see, genuinely in my lifetime, a company come around who would be able to get to sort of this level of the playing field. Like you say, they've still got to do all the work and they've still got to become successful. But I never thought we'd see a channel get on TNT. I never thought we'd see Turner put that kind of stock in wrestling again. And we're getting to see it. So
Do we know if Jamie Kellner is still involved?
I hope that Jamie Kellner is enjoying his retirement in Napa Valley or something, sipping some wine, just leave her wrestling alone. But you're right, you made a really good point. I think all WWE fans should want this to work, because I think part of the frustration with WWE the last couple of years has been that they've got so much talent, they've got so many people, and like there's so many opportunities. Like, you know, they got Matt Hardy. And they had him, and they could have done Broken, Woken, whatever you want to call it, and it could have gone viral and all that kind of stuff. And they never really did it. And they've got guys like, they've got guys who come up from NXT and girls who come up from NXT who are not, and it doesn't translate. So there's a lot of stuff that's kind of disconnected. And I think that having this kind of big variety show that All In tried to be, and I think it'll be more, I feel like, I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel like Double or Nothing will be a very different show to All In, because it's now a wrestling promotion, it's now got a purpose, it's now got a stake.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, All In really felt like a self-contained show. It was all about just entertaining people on the night, this year is the start of something. So you would think that in almost every match and segment, it will have a purpose. It will further the something, or rather start something with a view to it being furthered at a later date. So this is the start of something, not just something. So yeah, I think it will be a very different show. So I'm sure. You've got to figure that this it's going to be a, you would think that this is going to be a hell of a show, because there's so much at stake here. And I think everyone involved, in contrast to what we're hearing about what's going on in WWE, everyone involved is going to be so motivated to make it a success.
I've been around Cody a lot in the last kind of 3 years, like at different points, and I can tell you from being around him, you've interviewed, he is somebody who is very, very determined to make wrestling cool again. He wants to do that. Dustin, when he was over, when you spoke to him, there's something about that family where, like, they want to be part of trying to make a good change and to give an alternative. And I feel like they are people who, I'm not saying they're definitely going to do it, but I feel like I'm more comfortable with them doing it than I was with, like, Dixie Carter trying to do it. Because I feel like they get it more than she does. Tony Khan, you know, he's somebody who's got a lot of money behind him, but he's a big wrestling fan. He's followed wrestling for a lot of years, so he'd hope that, you know, what he's been saying so far sounds good. So you hope that the people who are involved have the right mindset and are going to be able to make it work.
Yeah. Well, when you look at what they've got and the position that they're in from the kickoff, they have got the best chance of anyone really since WCW of making it a success, because it's all there. You know, it's Turner paying your production, tremendous time slot, station behind you, station on your side. I mean, okay, they haven't got that many stars that are nationally recognizable in the US, but they've still got a hell of a roster that's not old and jaded and bitter. You've got so much potential with the talent roster that they have. And it seems like they're going to have the money to hire a lot of people that are going to become available over the next sort of 6 months to a year. And there's a lot of people who are going to be coming out of WWE who will have something to prove, and they'll want to work there, and they'll want to go in there, and they'll want to go in there and show the world what they can do. And you sort of get the impression that All Elite Wrestling is going to be all about maximizing potential rather than holding people back or squandering potential, which sadly is something that's characterized WWE in recent months, even recent years. You know, you were just talking about people then who were just doing nothing in WWE. There's just so many. I mean, look at Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, two guys are so talented. What could those guys do in All Elite Wrestling? You can already see them headlining, or at least, you know, second from the top. You could see those two going in there and doing something huge. What can you see them doing in WWE for the rest of this year, Kenny?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to kind of close the show off. We're going to, on the overrun, we'll talk about Money in the Bank and Raw and SmackDown and stuff. But I want to close with this. This is what the Young Bucks said at the Warner Media event. I thought it'd be a good thing for me to just throw to you for the last comment. They were asked about, you know, WWE stars being interested in AEW, and here's what they had, and Double or Nothing in AEW and the success that it's maybe going to have. And they said, it's got a shot. It's got to be shot different. Whatever WWE do, we have to do the opposite. If that means that they have a PG type show, we should have a more edgy type of show. Our matches should look different, and the things we do in the matches should be different. Our stories should be different. They should be more complex. I've heard a lot of chatter. I think that we have a lot of friends that work there, so we hear it from them too. I feel like we've changed the landscape of wrestling. It's going to give them some competition. We might be negotiating right now with some. We want surprises to happen, and we have a big show in 10 days, Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. You never know who you're going to see in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that I feel like they get what people want. There's a lot of wrestling fans who didn't live through the Monday Night Wars like you and I did. And
that's Monday Night War, Kenny.
Yeah, but the thing is that when that happened, you know, you would see people turn up on another show. We don't get that today. That doesn't happen now. You know,
that's right, yeah. And there'll be a huge sense of excitement, wouldn't there? Oh, so-and-so's left WCW. He could turn up at any time. And, like, you'd really be looking forward to seeing them turn up there. you know, when it was the traffic was going from WWF to WCW from like 95 through to 1998, and then from 98 through to 2001 when the traffic was going the other way. It was huge, wasn't it? Absolutely enormous. And, you know, this great sense of anticipation that someone was coming over, and what would they do? And you think, well, will they make it or will they not make it? And that was part of what made it so interesting.
And now we're going to have a company who comes around who are only going to have a 2-hour weekly TV show.
Yeah.
So there's a chance to want more. So
definitely.
Anyway, Fenny, give us your plugs. What are your plugs where people can check out everything you do with Inside the Ropes and beyond?
Actually, can I just quickly mention we had two deaths in wrestling this week.
I was going to cover Silver King on the Overrun, but what's the other one?
Right, well, can we just quickly mention it and then we'll talk about it more on the Overrun? Yes, Silver King sadly died in the ring in London over the weekend. I know somebody was there and he said it was truly harrowing. So, I mean, that's just so sad. And obviously, Ashley Mazzaro as well, who was one of the WWE personalities between 2005 and 2008, I think it was. She passed away, I believe it was yesterday. She was only 39. Silver King was 51. So, yeah, really sad week for wrestling, Kenny.
Yeah, Ashley Mazzaro passed away early this morning. I always liked her look. I always thought she had a different look to what a lot of the women looked like. You know, she was a bit more kind of rock, you know, glam rock, punk rock chick. And I liked that look for her. And 39's a real shame to go. She was due to be part of StarCast next weekend, so it really sucks.
I just thought I would mention that on the main podcast. We will talk about that later, more on the Overrun. But yeah, people can find me on Twitter at Finlay Martin. My website, as people know, is finlaymartin.co.uk. Where can people find you, Kenny?
You can find me at KennyMC1985 or Inside_the_ropes. And you can also find get tickets for Booker T at insidetheropes.co.uk/Booker T. And you can go to Fight TV and you can pick up the package for next weekend's StarCast. Every show, 29 plus stage shows, $59.99 is the price. It works out about like $1 a show or something like that, which will include our show with Dustin Rhodes on the Sunday, the day after his match with Cody. I hope you guys will check it out. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/insidetheropes, where you can listen to Finn and I on this podcast 24 hours early. You can get the Overrun with us. Finn's got articles that go up, whether it's interviews with names from the past that we might not have heard from in a while, like Katarina Lee, or names like Dustin Rhodes, who are going to be part of the big show in AEW, and much, much more. So I hope you'll give us a try over there as well. So we're going to go and record the Overrun now. Come over at Patreon and join us. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. If I'm sad tonight.